clear up to Nisano, and that's three lines up before the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We're quoting the Mishnah, and the Mishnah Daf Ayin Hey on the top of the Amud says, towards the end of the Mishnah, that Nisano Eruvan B'makom Echad V'shachach Echad Bein Men HaPnimis Bein Men HaChitzona V'lo Erev Shtein Asuros. The Gemara first is going to make a linguistic comment or analysis of the Mishnah. What does it mean, Makom Echad? And how does the Mishnah use that phrase in this context? And secondly, to understand under what circumstances will both the Pnimis and the Chitzona be Asura. So first, my Makom Echad. What does that phrase, Makom Echad, mean? Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav. I'm skipping the mnemonic device over here. That the Mishnah has in mind Chitzona. That Makom Echad is called Chitzona. And the obvious question is why? Why did the Mishnah choose such an ambiguous term as Chitzona to refer to, as Makom Echad, to refer to the Chitzona? Why not just call it a Chitzona? But in any event, on a halachic level, first and foremost, before we get understand why the Mishnah chose Makom Echad, let's understand how Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, came to that conclusion that Makom Echad must be referring to the Chitzona. The Mishnah says in this case that Shochach Echad is Shtein Asuros. Now, why would the Pnimis be Asura? If the Shichacha was in the Chitzona, then why wouldn't the Pnimis be able to say, well, we're independent of the Chitzona, we're on our own, we have our own Mechitza, and our own Eruv, why is Shtein Asuros? And the answer must be that the Pnimis cannot remove themselves from this Eruv, from the Chitzona, as a separate independent entity, and use the Eruv. And the reason for that is because the Eruv was B'makom Echad, meaning it was in the Chitzona. And as we'll learn, as soon as the Erev is placed in the Chitzona, the Bnei HaPnimis are totally dependent upon that Erev, because they don't have the rights legally to carry from their home out, from their homes, I should say, out into the common Chatzer, unless there's an Erev. And the Erev is in the Chitzona. If they cut themselves off from that Erev and say, well, you know what? We're going to make our own Eruv. In the meantime, then I'll let it carry out into the Chatzer, and it's Shabbos, so they can't set up an Eruv. They are totally dependent upon the Chitzona for this Eruv. So as, here's the contrast, and it's very important that we understand this for the sugi that we're going to learn today on Ayin Hey Amud Beis. If the Eruv is deposited in the Pnimis, then at some point or another, the Pnimis could say to the Chitzona, well, if you or one of your members of the Bnei Chitzona forgot to participate in the Eruv, we're not going to be affected by that. We have our own Eruv, and we can, in a sense, cut ourselves off. We'll see the whole sugi about that, how they do so. We could be mesalik ourselves from the Chitzona. Therefore, the Mishnah would make no sense. How can the Mishnah say, Shtein Asuros, that even the Pnimis is Asura? Again, I'm going to repeat this one more time to make sure that it sinks in. If the Eruv was left in the hands of the Chatzah, the Bnei Chatzah Pnimis, they have the right to cut themselves off from the Chitzona, and they can make a declaration that if one of the Bnei HaChitzona forgot to participate in the Eruv, we're not interested in joining you guys for an Eruv. We'll make our own independent Eruv, and we can do so because the Eruv was Munach Birshusenu. Therefore, if the Mishnah says that even the Bnei HaPnimis are Asurim, as a result of the Shichcha of one of the Bnei HaChitzona, it must be because the Erev was being placed in the hands of the Chitzona. So why does the Mishnah use this strange term, Mai Kari Le Makom Echad? And the answer is, Makom Yuchad L'Shteyem. In other words, we're talking about a place which is designated for the use and the benefit of both the Chatz HaChitzona and the Pnimis. And that can only apply in the case of the Chitzona, because as we said many times, the Bnei HaPnimis have passage rights, drisas regel, to go through the Chitzona, and therefore they enjoy the benefit of the Chatz HaChitzona. And the flip side, on the other hand, the Bnei HaChitzona have their own exit to the Chatz, so they don't need to go through the Chatz HaPnimis. So Makom Echad, which means Miyuchad L'shtehen, it's unique because both members of the two Chatzeros, whether it's the Chatz HaPnimis or the Chatz HaChitzona, enjoy the benefit of this location, of this Chatzer, and that could only refer to the Chitzona, because the Bnei HaPnimis have rights to enjoy the Chitzona through Drisas Reg. Now, it's clear that if one of the Bnei HaPnimis forgot to participate in the Eruv, then, according to the Tanakhama that we discussed, there's no difference whatsoever whether the Eruv is now being deposited in the Pnimis or in the Chitzona, because once there's a dropout amongst the Bnei HaPnimis, then the Pnimis is Asura. They don't have an Eruv, a leg to stand on. And once they become Asura, and then we apply the principle of Regel Hasura Vimkomo Seris Mokom Acher, and by virtue of their Drisas Regel rights in the Chitzona, they generate an Isur in the Chitzona. Now, the Chitzona cannot say to the Pnimis, look, it's one of your fellows that's causing the problem. One of your buddies, one of your clique, ignored the Eruv and didn't contribute. We want to be Masalik ourselves. But we can't. That's impossible. The Chitzona could not be Masalik themselves to the Pnimis because of the legal rights of the Pnimis of Drisas Regel in the Chitzona. And that's an introduction to the Gemara here on Daf Ayin Hei Amid Beis. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned in a Braisa, Nosnu, if the Bnei HaChatzeros, meaning whether it's the Pnimis, whether it's the Chitzona, Eruvam B'Chitzona, they deposited the Eruv in the hands of the Chitzona, V'Shochach Echad, okay, this is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and it doesn't matter who neglected to contribute to the Erev. Bein min ha-chitzona, bein ha-pnimis v'lo Erev, shtei anasuros. In other words, even if the one who's at fault here, the culprit, and forgot to participate in the Erev was one of the chitzona, nevertheless the pnimis cannot be misalik themselves from the Erev. This is Rabbi Akiva's shita. Chachom are going to reject this shita. The Gemara is going to spend the balance of what we have to do today to try to explain this machlokas. However, Nasnu Eruv HaBipnimis, in a case where the Eruv was deposited in the hands of the Pnimis, V'shachachachach HaPnimis Ol Eruv, Shtei and Asuros, that's, in Yiddish we call it upgeret. That goes without saying, we would say in English. Why? Because if the Eruv HaPnimi is invalid, because one of the members of the Pnimis forgot to participate in the Erev, then it becomes a regular Asurubim Komo. And everybody agrees, even the Tanakhama Rabbi Akiva, that it's Oseris Mamakom Acher and Shtei and Asuros. Now, in both of these cases, there's an Iser on the Chitzona as well. And that's because the Chitzona cannot be Masalik itself from the Pnimis because of the rights of Drisus Regal that the Pnimis has in the Chitzona. And in the second case that we mentioned, even if there were a possibility of siluk, it doesn't matter because the Erev is not in the hands of the Chitzona, it's in the hands of the Pnimis. And if it's in the hands of the Pnimis and one of the Bnei HaPnimis forgot to participate in the Erev is batel mevutal. Now, the next case is Echad min HaChitzona, who forgot to participate in the Erev, one of the Chitzona, velo Erev, and he didn't participate in the Erev, Shtei and Asuros. And this would apply even, apparently, if the Erev was deposited in the hands of the Pnimis, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. But the Chachamim are the Shita that we're going to anticipate, that Bazu Primus Vuperis Vichitzor Asura. If the Primus is holding on to the Eruv, they have a right to be Masalik themselves from the Eruv of the Chitzona and say, look, you guys are creating problems. One of your fellows failed to participate in the Eruv. We're not part of that Eruv. We're Masalik ourselves. We have our own Eruv. We're holding on to this Eruv in our Rishus as our Eruv. And then, according to Chachamim, in potential, even the Chitzona might be Muteris if they set up their own Eruv, because now the Pnimis is completely independent of the Chitzona, and the Pnimis has its own Eruv, and that's called Regala Muteris Bimkom. Now, at this point, Rabosai, we're going to analyze the underlying logic of Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to have what I call a ping-pong tournament. It's going to go, the ball is going to go back and forth, back and forth. Amale Rabba Bar Chanan Labai Maishno L'Rabbanon Di Amrei Pnimis Muteres. Why is it that Rabbanon makes so much sense? Because if it was one of the Bnei Achitzona who failed to participate in the Eruv, the Pnimis has a right to say, we have our own Eruv. We're not dependent upon you. We have the Eruv in our possession. Mishum da'achad ha'dosha u'mishtamsha. I'll get back to that phrase in just a minute. But the Rabbi Kiva nami teicha dosha v'tishtamish. The Gemara supports the logic that compels the Rabbanon to be matir, the Pnimis, and wonders why Rabbi Akiva would not accept that logic. What's the logic that compels the Pnimis to be mutter, according to the Chachamim, and for the Pnimis to declare that they're a separate entity, they have their own Eruv, and they want to rely on their Eruv? It's Mishum de Achada, Achada Dosha Umishtamsha, which means there is an opening, an entranceway between the Pnimis and the Chitzona, and the Pnimis has a right to say, you know what? We're going to close up that entranceway. Right? Dosha means delis in Aramaic. And Achada means to close the door. Let's close the door, barricade the door, so to speak, in a symbolic, metaphoric sense, between our Chatzer and your Chatzer. And therefore, we're being misalik ourselves from your Chatzer. So for this Shabbos, we're not going to walk out into your chatzer. Ours is ours, yours is yours. Shali shalcha, shali shali shalcha shalcha. So why didn't Rabbi Akiva accept that possibility that the Pnimis can be Masalik themselves and declare, we don't want to have anything to do with the Chitzona? We have our own Eruv. Amalei Sabai responds to Rabbah, he says, Eruv Margila. So Rashi explains that once they made an Eruv between the Chitzon and the Pnimis, and the Pnimis is now hosting that Eruv, is Margila. Margila means to, I'm going to use one word, but I want to improve on this, to train, to get used to something, to, what's it called in addiction, when you, there's a word in English that I'd love to use. Anyway, Margila means that the whole concept of an Eruv is to unify two Rishuyos. And the Chitzon, as a result of this Eruv, now will begin to use the Pnimis. It's a two-way street. It's not just that the Pnimis goes and has access to the Chatzah Chitzona, which for the Pnimis is very important, it's crucial. But on the other side, the flip side, reciprocally, the Chitzona wants to get access to the Pnimis. We want to be able to go into the Chatzah Pnimis for whatever reason. And now we have a double Drisus Regel. We have a Drisus Regel in both directions, going from the Pnimis out to the Chitzona, and based on the concept of Margila, from the Chitzona to the Pnimis. And just like the Pnimis generates an Iser on the Chitzona, according to Rabbi Akiva, generates an Iser on the Pnimis. And the reason for that is because Margila, because they now have joined together as if these two chatzers were one single chatzer and have rights of Drisus Regel to walk in to the Chatzah Pnimis. So Rabbanan Nami Erev Margila. Why didn't Rabbanan agree to this very strong svara that the Erev itself, once it's set up between the Pnimis and the Chitzona, now generates this kind of getting used to, where the Chitzona gets used to using the Pnimis, and now avails itself of its rights of Drisas Regel, but not Drisas Regel from the Pnimis out to the Chitzona, but the opposite, from the Drisas Regel of the Chitzona into the Pnimis. And that's going to allow for Rabbi Akiva's position, the principle of Oseres, that the Chitzona now generates an Iser on the Pnimis. Why did the Rabbana reject that? So the Chachamim say, the Omra, because the Pnimis has a right to say to the Chitzona, L'takune shitavtich v'lo lavuse. When I invited you, when we invited you to join us in an Eruv, we did it as a shutfus for a good thing, but not for an evus. Evus is what we call a kilkul, you know, not to ruin things. We only invited you to participate in our Eruv if it would help us so that we would gain access to your chatzer. But we never wanted to be able to calculate our own rights to carry from our homes into our own chatzer. Now the ball is in Rabbi Akiva's court. The Rabbi Akiva nami tema litkune shitavtich v'lo levuse. This argument of the Pnimis is a very cogent one. And Rabbi Akiva answers, the Amr La, the Chitzona could turn back to the Pnimis and say, Mivatlin on Lach Rishusi. I could be Mivatl my Rishus to you, to the Pnimis. And now we, as a Chitzona, have removed ourselves. We have renounced ourselves from this Chitz, from the Pnimis. We Mivatl our Rishus. And now we would be matir you, the Pnimis, to use the Erev and carry from your homes out to the Chatzah, meaning we're not creating your kilkul for you. We're going to be mevatel rishus, and you'll be able to cash in on our bitul rishus and rely on a valid Erev to permit carrying from your respective homes out to your Chatzah. So therefore, when Rabbi Akiva says the Pnimis Asura, what that means is that for the period of time until the Chitzon is Mevatel their Rishus, the Pnimis is Asura. Aye, the Pnimis says to the Chitzon, you are Makalkel, so the Chitzon responds, I'm not going to be Makalkel it for you, I'll exercise my rights of Bittel. Again, the ball now falls back into the court of the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan ein bitul rishus michatzer lechatzer. We had already the sheet of Shmuel back on Daf Samech Vav that ein mevatlin rishus michatzer lechatzer, which means that the bnei chatzer achas cannot be mevatlin rishus to the bnei chatzer acheres. Again, there's bitul rishus within the same chatzer, but not from one chatzer to the other. That's the sheet of Shmuel. And the Gemara is now invoking that sheet to explain and shed a light on Rabbanan. The Chitzona could not be Mevatel Rishus that they have in the Pnimis for the benefit of the Bnei Pnimis, because that's being Mevatel Mir Chatzel Chatzel. So therefore again, we come back to square one, says the Rabbanon, that the Erev, the joint Erev from the perspective of the Pnimis with the Chitzona, is now an Ivus, it's a Kilkul, that doesn't even have a Takana, there's no way of fixing it up. And the Pnimis says to the Chitzona, I don't want to recognize, I didn't introduce you and invite you to join me in the Erev just for Evus, just to mess up my Erev, and therefore our Erev remains misulekes, it's completely cut off from your chatzah. So now it comes out, according to this, that Rabbi Akiva holds mevatlin rishus mechatzah lechatzah, and the Rabbanan hold Ein bitul rishus michatzel chatzer. Says the Gemara, Lema Shmuel v'Rabbi Yochanan beplugtid the Rabbanan v'Rabbi Akiva kom miflugi. The Gemara back on Samach Vav quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who disagreed with Shmuel and validated bitul rishus michatzel chatzer. Are we basically now suggesting that the machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan is really an ancient machlokas that dates back to the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva, which means that Shmuel is now committed to the position of the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Yochanan now is committed to the position of Rabbi Akiva. Says Gemara, no, we can cut the umbilical cord of this matching. How so? Right, the Shmuel Amar Rabbanon for Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Rabbi Akiva. Amar L'cha Shmuel, Ano Di Amri, Afilu Li Rabbi Akiva. I can square off even with Rabbi Akiva. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hacha. When did Rabbi Akiva validate bittul mershus l'chatzer l'chatzer l'bishtei chatzer zlu l'fni mifnu? When you have an inner chatzer and an outer chatzer, and they set up an eruv together, and one of them, let's say one of the chitzona forgot to make the eruv, and now the chitzona wants to be mavatel its rishus to the pnimis, in that scenario, I understand very well why Rabbi Akiva validates bittul rishus, the asrin adadi. Because since you have a pnimis and a chitzona, and there's a mutual iser because the drisus regel in both directions reciprocally, that's why the institution of bittul rishus is very valid. You're talking about two chatzeros that generate an iser one onto the other. That's what bittul is for. Like, for example, in the classic scenario of bittul where you have many residents that share one chatzer, and one of those residents forgot to make bittul, he generates an iser on the other bnei chatzer. Now we give him the right to be mevatel as rishus. So too, if you have two chatzeros, each generates an iser on the other, then we have a valid bittul rishus. Aval hasam, when I, says Shmuel, made my statement of two chatzeros that have an opening between them, and there's no bittul rishus from one chatzer to the other, ki kasrina nadadi, mi kasrina nadadi, is one chatzer generating an iser on the other chatzer? And since one, there's no din of osro zu'alzu, there's no din of mevatlin zu'alzu. So the case in which there's a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva Chachamim, says Shmuel, namely a chatzer pnimis and a chatzer chitzona, which is osro zu'alzu, Shmuel is modi concedes to Rabbi Akiva that bittul rishus would be meaningful and effective from chatzer l'chatzer. Rabbi Yochanan amar l'cha, ana the Amri Afilu Lirabbanan. I'm going to hold that this bittul rishus bichatzel chatzer, and I can square off even with Rabbanan who disallow bittul rishus in this case of pnimis and chitzona. Name, says Rabbi Yochanan, you're making a mistake. You misunderstood the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are not saying that there's no efficacy to bittul in this case. The Rabbanan hold like me, and I hold like them, that there is bittul rishus bichatzel chatzer. Ad kan lo kami rabbanon hacha ela di amrele ad mevatlesli ka asris aloi. In the meantime, the bnei achitzona have not exercised or implemented their bittul. So the pnimis turn to the chitzona and they say, look, right now you're just messing us up. At this particular moment in time, until you mevatel your shus, you are generating an iser upon us because you have Jesus regal through the eruv into our shus. And right now, because one of your chevermine over here, who in the chitzona did not participate in the eruv, you're the ma'aves means you're being makalkel, my eruv and my ability and leniency to carry out from my house to the chatzer. So right now, my taina is a true taina. And I have right to say, I didn't, under these conditions, I never had any intention and agreement to be mishtatef with you, to join you in a partnership in an Eruv, just so that it would generate an Esau. I could have had my own Eruv. Let me just lock the door between the two. Here's where the Rabbanan will say that there's no bittul rishus, meaning right now there's no bittul rishus. And as we said before, when there'll be bittul rishus, then enochinavi, that bittul rishus will be valid, and that's a whole different story. The Rabbanu will therefore have to admit that, in any event, once there's bittul rishus, then everything should be fine. Where did I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, that there is bittul rishus michatzel chatzel hasam, there in the case of two chatzeros, one next to the other, and I said there's bittul rishus mika asra Allah, is one chatzah generating an iser on the other chatzah in the absence of an eruv, so that we should say that it's not enough to have bittul? Here in this case, since there's that middle stage, that time period in which the Chitzona, the Bnei Chitzona, have not yet implemented their bittul, and therefore the Pnimis has a right to say that now this Erev is working against us instead of for us, and if we want to lock the door and be misalik ourselves, that's where the Rabbanon say there's no bittul, meaning right now in this state there's no bittul. Now we go back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Vim hoyu shel yechidim enon tzrichim li'arif. So you have two chatzeros, a pnimis and a chitzona, and there are tzach called two people, two families, if you will, resident families in the two chatzeros. There's one person in the pnimis and one in the chitzona. They don't need an eruv to be mater otsa, neither in the pnimis nor even in the chitzona. And again, this is going to be an expression of the Rabbanan Shita of Regal Amuteris Bazeh Eino Seris Mokam Acher, because as far as the Pnimis is concerned, it's a Regal Amuteris. They don't even need an Eruv. Because there's no Zeh, they, it's only a He. On Rav Yosef, Tani Rebbe. Now, Rav Yosef is quoting a brisa of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We'll soon see that there's a little bit of mistake here in the transmission, but right now, Rav Yosef is quoting it in the name of a brisa. And as you know, a brisa is very authoritative. It's Tanoim. Hayu, let's say you have a Pnimis and a Chitzonos, Shlosha. There are three residents. Two are in one of the chatzeros, either in the Pnimis or in the Chitzona, and the third is in the other one. So Rebbe says Asurim. What does that mean, Asurim? It means that no matter how you divvy up these three people, in both cases, whether or not the two are in the Chitzona and the one in the Pnimis, or two in the Pnimis and one in the Chitzona, whichever way you shoot the dice, it's always going to be Asurim. Now let's just analyze these two scenarios, these two possibilities. If there's only one fellow occupying the Pnimis and the other two are in the Chitzona, then I don't understand what Rebbe is saying, because I can only understand Rebbe in a case where there are two residents in the Pnimis and one in the Chitzona, because then since there are two residents in the Pnimis, it becomes a regular Seres. And therefore, they need an Eruv, and that's going to generate an Iser, not only on them until they have the Eruv, but it generates an Iser on the one single resident of the Chitzona. That I understand. But what about the flip case? What happens if there's only one person in the Pnimis and there are two in the Chitzona? And the two people in the Chitzona set up their own Eruv. They shouldn't become Asur, because the Yachid who's left in the Pnimis, he doesn't need an Eruv. He's a regular Muteris Bimkoma. But the Rabbanan made a Gzera, and they said, Shlosha Asurim. I don't care, says Rebbe, how you divvy it up. We're going to have to paskin Shlosha Asurim, because we're always worried about a situation in which there are two people living in the Pnimis. And even in a situation where there's only one guy living in the Pnimis, people are going to make that mistake. If we already matir the case where two are in the Chitzon and one in the Pnimis, people are going to confuse that with the case where there are two in the Pnimis and only one in the Chitzon. So Rebbe, therefore, with this Gzera, gets a flat, all-inclusive Iser called Shlosha Asurim. Now, keep in mind that Rav Yosef didn't always remember exactly. Amar lehu Rav Bevai lo tetzaisu le, don't be careful and uphold the transmission as you heard it from Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is making a mistake by saying that this was a brisa. This is not a brisa. I know I'm Risa Niela. Rav Yosef heard it from me, and I heard it Mishmei d'Rav Adabarava Amrisa Niela. Now Rav Adabarava is an Amora. He's not a Tana. He's not a Brisa. And not only did I transmit this halacha, I also gave it an explanation. Hoil vani kori bohem rabim b'chitzona. That when I discuss the case of the chitzona, I call it rabim. And once I use the word rabim, then I'm implying that even in a case where the rabim are in the chitzona, which means there's only one person living in the pnimis, even in that case, they need an eruv, and it's also without an eruv. Now, when Rav Yosef hears this, I'm Rav Yosef, Mari Davram, I can take an oath in the God of Abraham, the master of Abraham. I now understand how I made a boo-boo here, and I did not transmit the words of Rav Bevi properly. Rav Bevi used the word rabim. I heard not rabim with a mem at the end, resh beis yud mem. I dropped a mem, and what I left with was berabi ichlefle. That's where I made my mistake. So I thought instead of rabim, I heard Rebbe, and Rebbe is a reference to Rav Yehuda Nasi. But in truth, and that's where Rav Bevi is setting the record straight, what Rav Bevi said was not Rebbe, but rabim. And if it's rabim b'chitzona, then we have a serious question as to why that should be aser, and the answer is because we're going to make this blanket statement that shlosha surim, and it doesn't matter how you group it together, because we're going to enact a gzera. Now the Gemara quotes a different opinion, and that Shmuel, he never accepted this gzera. Shmuel amar li olam mutaros ad shiyu shnayim v'pnimis v'echad v'chitzona. Only in the case where there are two residents in the pnimis, they need an eruv in their chatzer, and if they to make an eruv, then they generate an iser on that yachid, that individual who's in the chitzona. He's not going to be allowed to carry from his house out to the chatzer, and that's based on the principle of regel asur b'mkomo, ser shelo b'mkomo. But Shmuel says, in the flip side, if you have a case of a yachid b'pnimis, which is a regel amuteris b'mkomo, then even though there are shnayim in the chitzona, they can set up their own Eruv, and they don't need an Eruv from the Pnimis. So this is against Rav Bevi in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Omar Rav Loza says that according to Shmuel, what's going to be in the case of a Nochri? There's one individual resident in the Pnimis, two in the chitzona, but the one in the pnimis is a nachri. He's a guy. And the question of Rabbi Elazar is, do we include this in the gzera of Shmuel? No, I'm sorry. According to Shmuel, who says that if there's only one person, one resident in the pnimis, that doesn't generate an isur, because that's regal amuteres b'mkomo. What about the case where the one single resident of the pnimis is a nachri? And what does it mean to say about a nachri that it's a regular muteres, that that there was an eruv? What do you mean there was an eruv? Well, there's no need for an eruv. He's a nachri. Says Rabbi Elazar, harei hu kerabim. The halach in this case is as if there were two Jews living in the pnimis. Just like in that case, they generate an isur on the chitzona, based on the Drisus Regel, so too the Nachri generates an Isur on the Chitzona, because he has rights of passage to go through the Chitzona, and a Nachri is not Ma'ariv. So in order to be Matir Hotzah in the Chitzona, there's no other way out. You're going to have to somehow rent out, with a bona fide rental agreement, the rights of the Nachri to use the Chatzah. That's called Liskar Es Reshuso. So the Gemara now explains, with a question and answer, the logic of Rabbi Elazar. Vaishna Yisrael. What's the difference between a Yisrael and a Nachri? De Yisrael, if he's alone in the Pnimis, lo asar, Shmuel says there's no Isur on the Chitzona. So apparently the reason is why Shmuel has no Gzera, he's not worried, because demand de Yoda, the person who knows that there's only one Jew living in the Pnimi, Yoda, he knows that. And he understands that since it's Mutar B'Mkomo, is Eino Osra L'Chitzona. And Mandalo Yoda, there may be someone out there amongst the spectators who doesn't realize that in the inner Chatzah there's only one resident, one Jew. He thinks, mistakenly, that there are a number of different residents in the Chatzah Pnimis. Savar Eruvei Eruv. When he sees the Bnei Achitzona carrying from their houses out into their chotzer, he's going to assume that there was an Eruv that was set up between the Pnimis and the Chitzona. Says the Gemara, if that's the reason why Rabbi Lazar rejects this Gzera of Rav Ada Bar Ava, then apply that same logic to the case of a Nachri. Nachri Nami, he's living in the Pnimis alone. Why does Rabbi Lazar say Hareu Kirabi, he generates an Isra on the Chitzona? Amrina Diyada. Let's say that the spectators realize that there's only one person living alone in the inner Chatzer. Yada. And if they know that, then it doesn't generate an Isra, and there's no reason why it should generate an Isra on the Chitzona. But you're going to ask about the Lo Yada. In other words, let's say the spectator mistakenly thinks that there are two residents in the Chatzer. There's their Jewish residents and the Goy. Savar Gire Ogir. He'll certainly come to the conclusion, Bigdan Lakav Schus, that the reason why the Bnei Achitzon are carrying out into their Chatzer is because in the Pnimis, although they could made it Eruv because one of the residents is a Goy, but they rented out his rights, his legal rights to use the Chatzer. So why wouldn't Rabbi Lazar consistently apply that logic of Shmuel even to the case of a Nachri? And the Gemara answers, Stam Nachri I Isa di Oger Mif'a Pa'i. A guy likes to talk about his accomplishments. So if he accomplished the rental agreement with the Yisrael, then we should know about that. That should be public knowledge. That should be flashed on the front pages of the local rag or Facebook. So the spectator now didn't hear anything about a schiris. The guy didn't tell him anything, and there was no public announcement. A guy would always publicize this. It's like tattle, you know, Yentishkeit, how do you say that in English? You know, So the mindset of this Jew, when he finds out that the Bnei Achitzona are carrying, and he knows that there's a guy living in the inner chatzer, he doesn't know if the guy is living alone or not. He suspects that there are other Jews who are sharing the residence of that chatzer. And if that be the case, then what justification is he going to come up with for the fact that the Jews in the chatzer chitzona are still carrying? There should be a situation here of a regular asura b'mkoma. And again, why is it a regular asura b'mkoma? Because the guy has drisus regel in the chatzer ha-pnimis. In the chatzer chitzona. And that's going to generate an isra on the chitzona. He's going to have to come to only one conclusion. There couldn't have been an eruv because there's a nachri in the pnimis. It couldn't have been that the nachri had rented out his rights to the chatzer ha-pnimis, because I would have heard about that. That's tattle, that's chatter that I would have known about. The goyim like to talk about these things. It could only mean one thing. that halachically he doesn't generate an iser on the chitzona because all he has is rights, is drisus regel. And that's going to create problems if people get the impression that there's no such thing as a primus generating an iser on the chitzona because ain drisus regel oseres. And finally, we get to the last sugya on daf ayin hey. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Asara Batim Ze Lifnim Mizeh. So you have the following. You have a chotzer, and there are a number of residents that share that chotzer. We're going to talk about one bias, one resident. We'll call him Reuven. And there are 9 other houses lined up in a row going from, we'll call it, east to west, okay? It doesn't matter. And what happens is that each one of these houses, meaning the residents of these houses, wants to carry from one house to the next, to the next, to the next, until they can finally go out to the chatzer, which is connected to Reuven's house. So now Reuven, who shares that chatzer, he's number 10 on this row, he shares that chatzer with other Jewish families. He would like to create an Eruv. Is it enough that he participates and contributes to the Eruv, and the other 9 houses do not have to participate in the Eruv? And this is a radical chiddush here that I never would have anticipated. Om Rav Yudom Shmuel, Asar Batim Zemil Fnimzeh, Pnimi Nosene Ruvo Vidayo. Now, in order to understand this ruling of Shmuel, namely that only one house, the last house on the block, meaning Reuven, whose house borders on this chotzer that he shares with other residents, only he has to contribute to the Eruv. And the other 9 houses don't have to be part of the Eruv. We have to introduce a new concept. I don't know if we got a chance to talk about it, called a Beit Shar. Now, a classic Beit Shar is a kind of a little budka, kind of a little hut, if you will, that you go through in order to enter into someone's house. The purpose of that hut is for a shomer, some sort of a guardsman who maybe lives there, but it's not really a base dira. It's not really a substantial house. It's what we call a beit shar. It's really just an entranceway into the house. And a Beit Shar, which is a bayis hamashamesh ma'avar lebayis acher, nechshav ki Beit Shar, and Beit Shar eino nechshav ki Beis Madurim, it's not a dira, a madur. And therefore, these other houses, insofar as each one is called a Beit Shar, Enom Osrim Alachirim Imlo Eruv. They don't have to join in the Eruv. Now, imagine, the last house, we'll call it the Chitzoni, goes through house number, house number 2, we'll call it, and then house number 2 goes through house number 3 to get out, and they keep going out and out and out. Each one is a Beit Shar. Until you get to number 10 on the list. Because number 10 is a resident in the Chatzer. And he has a full-fledged bias. He's not going through his house to get to a Beit Shar. Right? Everyone else is going through a house to get to a Beit Shar because he wants to go weiter. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afilu Chitzon Tzorech Li'arev. So Rabbi Yochanan says all 10 have to participate in the Eruv. So the Gemara immediately asks, Chitzon Beit Shar, who? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan understand that guy who's the first on the row of 10 houses, he's only going into the second house, and the second house therefore is nothing more than a Beit Shar for the first house, and it goes down the line like a domino theory. And the Gemara answers, Chitzon Shel Pnimi, we misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was referring to, when he called it Afilu Chitzon, he meant Chitzon Shel Pnimi. That's number 9. So you have 1, 2, 3 going in this direction until you get to number 10. And Rabbi Yochanan says that number 9 will also have to participate in the Eruv. The first 8 do not have to participate in the Eruv. So it now becomes a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to whether or not number 9 has to contribute to the Eruv. B'maikom miflegi, mar sovar beit shar di yochid, if you're entering into only one house, Shmei Beit Shar, that's sufficient. Mar Sovar Lo Shmei Beit Shar. Let's start with backwards. Go backwards. What's Lo Shmei Beit Shar? Jerry, it's okay. You don't have to wear a mask because Zoom, there's no infection over Zoom. Okay, Jerry? All right.
Someone in the
house. Okay, I was just joking. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's fine.
You know, the daf is very intense, so I need a little, to lessen up, loosen it up. Anyway, my whole life is around this,
One of us is in the Pnimi, one's in the
Pnimi. Very good. So now we have a svara to say, this is Rabbi Yochanan saying, that in a case of diyachid, lo shmei beishai. What that means is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, in order to set up a Beit Shar, you need a chain of at least 2. Which would mean that although number 8 on the list in this row is going to go into number 9, and then from number 9 go into number 10, and that makes number 8 a Beit Shar, but number 9 is not a Beit Shar, because he's only a Beit Shar for a Yochid. In other words, his bias, he's only using the bias number 10 as a Beit Shar, but he's not using another house number 11. There is no house number 11. Whereas Shmuel is of the opinion that Beit Shar di Yochid Shmei Beit Shar, that even the 9th person in this row, the 9th house, is also called a Beit Shar, even though it's only a Beit Shar to the 10th, only to one house. Omar Av Nachman, we'll see if we can fit in at least the beginning of Ayin Vav. Omer Av Nachman, Omer Abba, Barav Omer Av, Shtei Chatzeros, Ushlosha Batim, Beinehem. So now you have a situation where there is a row of 3 houses. Each one of the extremities borders on a chatzer that's shared with other homes. So if you get the picture, you've got a chatzer with many homes around it. You've got another bayis amongst the many batim that share that chatzer. Then you have a bayis contiguous to that bayis, and a third one continue to that. The contiguous third bayis, number 3, shares that chatzer that it exits to with other batim. Says Rav, Shtei Chatzeros Ushlosha Batim Beinehem. So again, you have 3 batim situated between 2 Chatzeros. Ze ba derech ze, v'nosei neiruvo ba ze, v'ze ba derech ze, v'nosei neiruvo ba ze. What's going to happen is that there's going to be 2 Erevin for the 2 Chatzeros, and both Erevin, meaning the pas, will be deposited in the hands of the middle bias. So again, the language of Rav, Zeh, meaning the house that borders on the Chatzer on this side, and he needs to contribute to the Eruv to allow him to use that Chatzer that he exits into. Ba Derech Zeh, he can Ba Derech Zeh. Okay, I'll have to come back to those three words. I'm not sure. But no se de ruvo boze. He can contribute his eruv to the emtsa'i. Vizeh, and the bias on the other extreme, does the same thing. Baba derech. Habayis ha-pasuch l'chotz ha-shnia. Bahu dar no se ne ruvo boze. He also deposits his eruv in the middle house. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Vav. And now we have two Erevim that are deposited in the hands of the Bayis HaEmtzai through the two extreme Batim on his flanking him on the right and the left. And Zeh Nasa Beit Shar LeZeh. V'Zeh Nasa Beit Shar LeZeh. Emtzai Havilei He says the following, that the house that's open to the chatzer, again we could choose either one on either extreme, then through that bias, the eruv was placed in them tzai. How is that so? And the answer is because that bias becomes a beis shar, which allows the bnei chatzer to go through that bias that's contiguous to their chatzer into the bias emtsoi, and if they want to go from the bias emtsoi to the other bias, and therefore the bias on this side that borders on the chatzer becomes a beis shar. It becomes sort of like an entranceway for the Bnei HaChatzer to enter into the Bayis HaEmtzai. Now, again, if I remember correctly from yesterday when I prepared this, it means that the two houses on the two ends do not need to be part of the Eruv. They don't have to contribute to the Eruv. I'm going to check this out in just 1 second. I may be making a major mistake. But one thing is crystal clear to me, that A, each bias can deliver the Eruv to the Emtzai, and the Eruv does not have to be owned by the Emtzai. The Emtzai, since he's hosting the Eruv, he does not have to participate in the pas, in the Eruv. And this is a reflection of Shmuel Shita back on Daf Mem Tes. So let me just read the summary here, just to make sure, you know, sometimes from one day to the other. Rav Bala Lamed, Ketzai Biofina Omer, Niftarim Kol Shlosh Sabat, Baruch Hashem, I got it right. Niftarim Kol Shlosh Sabatim, Mieshtatvus Bierv. None of these three houses have to join the Eruv. Why? He says that the Bnei Chatzar Achas, there's one Chatz on the left, they will deposit their Eruv through the house that borders on their Chatzar to the Bayis HaEmtzai, and so too on the other side. Now, the halacha is that Bate Shar, you know, it's a Beis Shar, in this case there are two of them, Einam Tzrichim Li'arev. They don't have to be part of the Erev. The Bayis HaEmtzai doesn't have to be Ma'arev, because that's the Bayis HaMenichim Bo'as HaErev. You know, wherever we put the whole purpose of the Erev is to join together in one Chabura, in one Rishus. If he's hosting the Erev, he doesn't have to, join this chabura. I mean, he's there. That's his house. You know, he's inviting others to join him in his house to make it into one reshus. So as it turns out, in this case, none of the three houses are required to participate in the Eruv. And let's go over why. The outer house on this side is a Beis Shar from the Chatzer, going through that bias into the Bais Hamtzoi, and so too on the other side, and a Beit Shar doesn't have to contribute to the Eruv. The Emtzoi doesn't have to contribute to the Eruv because he's a Bais HaMinichim V'Osa Eruv. Is Bodek Luhu Rachva Lirabbanon? When Rachva wanted to test the rabbis and see, you know, his students and see if they were smart enough to come up with a din in a scenario, this is what he tested them with. Shtei chatzeros u'shnei batim beinehem. So each bias is open up to one chatzer, and the two batim open up one to the other. So instead of three batim, we have two batim, and both batim border on a chatzer with other residents that share that chatzer. Is zeh ba derech zeh v'nosan eruv ba zeh, zeh ba derech zeh v'nosan eruvo ba zeh, kanu eruv olo. In other words, is it possible that the eruv should be put into the other house, meaning the further house, for that chatzer that's on the further, you know, further away, and the opposite in the same case? Mimashvina le legabi hai kibayis ulegabi dahai kibeshar. So the Gemara wants to know if this Eruv is valid, such that they can carry out to the Chotzer, or it's not valid. What are the two tzadim of the Sofek? The Gemara wants to know, shall we consider one house with regard vis-a-vis the chotzer as a bias, but legabe hai, with regard to the other chotzer, that house is considered a beis shar? And we could say the same thing in the other direction, legabe hai beis shar, legabe hai bias. So that it means there's a valid chalos eruv of the two chatzeros. Why? Because the bias that opens up into the chotzer that did not participate in the Eruv, that's considered legabi the chotzer as a beis shar. And the bias on the other side is considered vis-a-vis that chotzer as a bias. And again, we do the same trick and this, you know, apply the same yardstick in the other direction as well. Or perhaps we don't have the ability to say so. Why? Because if it's a bias, it's got to be a bias vis-a-vis both of them. You know, we can't say that this bias is at the same time both a beis shar and a bias. And therefore, osa chotzer shelo inicha bo es ha'eruv, ein eruvo eruv. In other words, if in that chotzer they didn't set up an eruv, it's not a valid eruv. Sharei bias zeh lo irev ima. This bias did not participate in the eruv. If on the other hand it's a beis shar, then it should be a beis shar vis-a-vis both chatzeros, and you don't put an Eruv in a Beis Shar. Amru lei, shneihem lo kanu Eruv. So the Chachamim responded to this question of Rachva by saying that the Eruv is not valid. It's impossible to consider one bias as both a Beis Shar vis-a-vis this Chatzer and a bias vis-a-vis the other Chatzer. Because we might have shah. If you're going to consider this bias as a Beit Shar, and that's why you will place the Eruv, right? If you're going to consider it as a bias, and therefore you're going to place the Eruv in the bias, then it can't be considered as a Beit Shar. And that's based on the Mishnah later on in Daf Pei. Hey, I know Seines Eruvo beBeit Shar. If you're going to put an Eruv and consider it as a Beit Shar, then it's an invalid Eruv. The Eruv can only be viable if you put it in a bias. And the same is true for an Achsadra, which is also a kind of an entranceway into a house. It's like a little bit of a of an open knisa to a bias, you know, without a roof on top of it. That's called an asajo marpeset, which means some sort of a porch that you climb up with a ladder, and from that you enter into the dira. So if you've put the Erev in any of those places called a Beis Shar or an Achsadra Merpeset, ain't no Erev, but he bias Mashvesleh. If on the other hand, you're going to consider that house as a bias, and that's why placing the Erev in that bias is meaningful, is called Metaltele Labayis Deloma Arivle. In other words, the Ben Achotzer is carrying into a house that doesn't have an Erev. In other words, this Erev is not valid because you cannot say that you bring it through a bias, you know, the bias Achitzoni, if there was no Erev in the bias Achitzoni. So the Gemara immediately asks the obvious question, Maishna Mida Rava? How is this different than the statement of Rava? The Omar Rava, Rava said, Omar Lo Shnaim, if two people said to one person, say V'arev Olenu, go out and set up an Erev on our behalf, Li'echad Erev Olav Mibodjom, Li'echad Erev Olav Ben Ashmashos. In other words, it was in that period of time between Shkia and Seisa Kochavim. So it's a Sufik Yom and Sufik Laila. So Zeshe Erev Olav Ben Yon Bimod Yom Nechal Eruva Ben Ashmashos. Unfortunately, the one that had the Erev set up on his behalf before the onset of Shabbos, his Erev was eaten during this Ben Ashmashos period. Vizesha, which creates a suffix as to whether or not this Erev could be valid. Vizesha Erev Olav Ben Ashmashos. And then there was someone else who was serving as a Shliach, and he set up the Erev Ben Ashmashos. And Nechal Eruvo Misha Techshach, after the onset of Shabbos, the Erev was eaten. Is that even though the din here is that Sheyesh Li'arev Mibojom, and the Erev was set up when? In the second case, it was Ben Ashmashos. And we need that the Erev should be alive and well. It should exist at the moment of the onset of Shabbos. So if we're going to consider Ben Ashmashos as Yom, which would validate the second Erev on behalf of Shimon, then the Erev on behalf of Reuven is invalid. Why? Because Nechal Eruva Ben Ashmashos, his Erev was already consumed before the entry of Shabbos, because you're considering Ben Ashmashos as Yom. And if on the other hand, you're going to say that the reason why the first Erev is valid is because Ben Ashmashos is Lila, then the second Erev is not valid. And yet Rava Paskin, Shneim Kanu Erev, both Eruvin are valid. In other words, since Ben Ashmashos is a Safek, and we only need an Erev Midrabanan, we could apply the principle of Safek to Rabbi Lahakel. So as far as the first guy is concerned, we're not going to consider Ben Ashmashos as Lila. We're going to say that his Erev was consumed, Bibo Jom. I'm sorry. For the first guy, we're going to say that Ben Ashmashos is Lila. And then we're going to assume that the Erev was alive and well going into Shabbos. It was only consumed on Shabbos. As far as the second one is concerned, we're going to say that Ben Ashmashos is Yom, and therefore his Erev was valid. And we're going to take it from both ends. You know, we're going to grab the rope from both ends. And that's because Safik Dravot Lekula in both cases, in both Erevin. So the Gemara now says, well, you see that we're making an Erev, even in case where there's a logical contradiction between two rulings. You know, either Ben Ashmashos is Yom or it's Lila, but you can't say it's both Yom and Lila. But the answer is that we can do that. So why not say the same thing in the case of two Chatzeros that set up an Erev in the Batim that are between them, and we're going to consider each bias as a Beit Shar with relationship to this Chatzer and a Beit Shar with relationship to that Chatzer. I'm sorry, and a bias relationship to that Chatzer. And vice versa. So Gemara differentiates. Hachi hashta. We can really make a distinction. Let's not compare the two cases. Hasam, in the case of Ben Ashmashos, where you set up two Erevin. One Erev was set up during Bein HaShemashos, and it was eaten, and the other Erev was eaten in Bein HaShemashos, is we could be Mekil, even though there's a contradiction in the two Piskei rulings, because Safek Yomam and Safek Leilo, Lo Minkar and Milsa. In other words, again, even though there's a contradiction between these two kulos, but it's not going to lead to a situation where people will laugh at the halacha. No one is such a bucky that he looks at his watch and he says, well, the Erev on behalf of Reuven was at 7:02, and the Erev on behalf of Shimon was at 7:04, and so forth and so on. They don't know exactly what the Zmanim were. They're not Bekiyim in the Zmanim to say that this one was during the day and this one was at night. So we don't have what's called the chashash of nira kechucha vitlula, where people will make fun of it. Aval hocha, but here in the case of an erev of two chatzeros and shnei batim, and now we want to consider each bias as a bias for this and a base chotzer for this one, is then ilagabi dahai bias, ilagabi dahai bias. If you consider it as a bias for this one and vis-a-vis this chotzer, it should be the same. Ilagabi high base shar, if you're considering it not as a bias, but a Beit Shar, is Ligabe Hai Nami Beit Shar. You cannot consider one bias relative to this Chatzar as a bias and relative to that Chatzar as a Beit Shar simultaneously. You know, the Batim are there right in front of our eyes. It's Nikar Lakol. We see, obviously, that you're applying a Kula here, which is Sosa, Shtei Kulos HaSosra So-and-so. And in this case, we have to be worried about the onlooker that he's going to make fun. And he's going to find the Divrei Chachamim as a Chucha Vitlula. And here we conclude Perek Hadar, Hadron Olecha Hadar. And we're about to start the seventh Perek, Perek Chalon, which is really our work to start this Perek tomorrow on Shabbos. But at least we have one thing in common, and that is that we completed the perek, at least that much. So, Mirtz Hashem, Bli Neder, will try to learn Daf Ein Vav during the course of Shabbos, and then on Yom Rishon to get to Daf Ein Zayin.